I'm going to be continuing my series on grace, but this is probably going to be the last one, okay? So this is the fourth one, if you're keeping track. So if Andy can get the... We can get the PowerPoint up. Oh, there we go. So far, we've talked about saving grace, sustaining grace, and sharing the gospel of grace. Now, today's message is... Well, it will be if it works. Oh, I'm going along now. Let's go through the whole message in 5 minutes and we can go home. Is that what you'd like? Right, grace to forgive. Okay. Now, so today I want to talk about grace in relation to forgiveness. And this, I have to say, is a real personal challenge to me. I hope it will be something that, I believe it will, something that God wants to speak to all of us. But what we're going to do, we're going to start off by, keep going the wrong way, apologies there, reading Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 8. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. I think this passage really captures the essence, the message of the gospel. And I'm going to recap on that because I think it's really important before we move on to talk about forgiveness for us to really make sure that we understand the message of grace in the gospel. Even before he made the world, God loved you. God loved me. Doesn't that sound amazing? Does that not sound amazing to you? Even before there was light, even before there was the building blocks of life, God was thinking about you and me. That, to me, is incredible. He already had you in mind. He already had you and me in mind to be part of his family. That's what we were created for. We were created to be part of God's family. But we know that something went wrong. And when God made man, he made Adam and Eve, they chose to do their own thing. They chose to disobey God. And therefore, there was a barrier, there was a separation between them and God. Because when we sin, when we do wrong, when we do our own thing, when we disobey God, that becomes a barrier because God is holy. He is so holy that anything that comes close to his holiness that is not holy will be destroyed. God cannot tolerate sin. But this passage tells us that God chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. How on earth could we be holy and without fault in the eyes of God? Anybody here holy and without fault? No? Me neither. We know that we're not. We know that we're not good. However good we try and be, we are not good enough to have a relationship with a holy God. We all deserve to be judged for the things that we've done. So the only way that this relationship can be restored is for that sin, that mess, to be dealt with. So this holy God, the creator of the universe, who knows every gory detail about my life and yours, has chosen to make it possible for us to escape that judgment that we deserve. And not only that, but be welcomed into his family. And how did he do that? Well, this passage tells us by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has chosen to have mercy on us, to withhold the punishment that we deserve. And to give us grace. That's the benefit, the blessing that we don't deserve. This passage says that he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Jesus came to take the punishment we deserve. He came to bring forgiveness so that we don't have to have that barrier between us and God. But not only did God forgive us, he actually declared us not guilty. Now, as I said before, you know, when you've done something wrong, the person that you have wronged may choose to forgive you, but it doesn't mean you haven't done it. But when God declares us not guilty, he says it's as if the slate is wiped clean. It never happened. God declares us not guilty. And now, that barrier that has been removed, we can have a relationship with this holy God. That relationship that he always intended. We are part of his family. Now, you and I know that that doesn't mean that we stop messing up, does it? We keep making mistakes. We're not perfect. But whenever we do anything wrong, we can come to God and say, I'm sorry. And he forgives us because he looks at what Jesus has done and wipes us clean. Jesus took all the mess, all the wrong stuff that we have done on himself. And now, even though Jesus was the only perfect person that ever lived, the only righteous person that ever lived, the only person that could have that perfect relationship with the Father because he didn't have any sin, we are declared righteous by God. God looks at us and says, I look at you as if you've never done anything wrong. You are right with me. You are righteous. And we are now set apart for a new life. We have a new family. Look around, folks. This is your family. Afraid so? We have a new family. We have a new purpose, a new destiny. And we want to follow Jesus to be like him, not because we're afraid of being judged, but because we have received his love. So this is grace. Undeserved, unconditional love that results in acceptance, forgiveness, and eternal salvation. And this salvation is by grace alone. When I spoke about sustaining grace, I said that, you know, we live in a culture where everything is earned. We work hard. We work for what we get. Grace is a gift that is free. And because we have received our salvation as a free gift, we live every day in the grace of God, not trying to earn God's love, not trying to earn his acceptance, but receiving it for free. Whenever we mess up, we can receive the grace of God. And we share this grace. We want to share it with others, to extend it to others. I don't think, personally, that we can ever really completely grasp the enormity of what God has done for us. Would you agree? The grace of God in forgiving us. Now, I don't know about you, but if I even had a very small proportion of the stuff that I've done this week and thought this week and said this week projected up on a screen for you lot to see, my word, I would crawl into a little hole somewhere and hide away, wouldn't you? And yet you think about that in terms of the whole of our lives. God knows all of that. And yet he's chosen to say, I've covered it. My grace covers it. I love you anyway. I receive you anyway. So what about forgiving others? And this is what I've really felt challenged about, that I want to share this with you today. Because I have to admit, I've been in, maybe heard messages about forgiveness before, and I thought, yeah, you know what, I've forgiven, that's not a problem, no big deal. But God has been showing me recently that actually, you know, forgiveness is perhaps broader than we may think. It's quite easy. If somebody's done something really awful to you, you've been wronged in some way, it's kind of easy to think, yes, I can kind of understand the need for forgiveness in that situation. It's kind of a big deal. And so there may be people here who have suffered dreadful stuff as a result of other people. You may have been abused physically, emotionally, financially. You may have been treated really badly. And we can can see the need for forgiveness in those situations, even though that is incredibly difficult. But God has been challenging me about the subtlety of forgiveness, about taking offense. You know, and I've realized how easy I am offended. How easy it is for me to be offended when I do something for somebody and they don't say thank you. Oh, it's not very nice. Well, you could say, well, you've a right to be offended. Have I? Well, maybe that person should have thanked me, but do I have a right to be offended? Does God have a right to be offended at our sin? Absolutely. Does he choose not to be? Absolutely. I'm going to be honest with you today. I've recognised that there are lots of areas where I perhaps get offended easily. And, you know, it's not very comfortable when you think about that, and it hasn't been a comfortable process. And, you know, I think as Daryl shared in the first service, you know, sometimes the closer we get to God, the more uncomfortable it gets at times, because we realise how perhaps we are not the person that we would like to be or that we know that God wants us to be. But I believe that if it's speaking to me, I'm hoping it's going to be speaking to some others here today. I don't really want to be speaking just to myself, but, you know, I'm prepared to take the message. But I'm speaking to myself here today. So I believe there's people here today, and you know that you've had to forgive somebody for something that they've done to you, maybe something really dreadful, and you know that you've done that. There are people here who think they may have, but they may not be absolutely sure. And there are maybe people here who know they can't forgive. You know what? I just can't forgive that. And then there may be people who, like me, perhaps even really thought about it. Do I need to forgive? Or am I okay? So let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you. Just at this point, we just want to take a moment to thank you for your incredible grace, for your incredible love that accepts us just the way that we are. Lord, and God, you have forgiven us, and we are so grateful for that, that we can come to you time and time again, and you forgive us by your grace. But Lord, I pray today that you would speak into our hearts over any areas of our lives where we need to forgive others. Lord, will you speak to us? Lord, we give you permission to poke us a bit this morning, to show us those areas that we need to get right with you. And maybe with other people too. Amen. Excuse me. So, how do we know that we've forgiven? Well, I'd like to share with you something that I find quite useful. This is my own little test. This is my experience of knowing whether I've not forgiven somebody. So, when I think about what that person did to me, I get really wound up and angry. Okay? So I'm still really stirred up about it. I feel I want others to know just how badly I was treated, okay? Given the opportunity, I'm going to tell somebody else how horrible they were to me and what an awful thing it was that they did to me. I find it easy to get drawn into gossip about them. So if someone else is talking about them and they're being quite negative, I kind of feel quite good about that, and I enjoy being part of that conversation. And if something's really bad has happened to them, I kind of feel secretly quite pleased. And if I hear that something good has happened to them, my word, I feel really resentful. Can anybody identify with any of those, or is this just me? No, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. See, I did say I was going to bare my soul before you this morning, so you might go away thinking, Wendy's a really horrible person. But you're probably right. Okay, but I'm changing by the grace of God, I hope. So, why don't we forgive? Well, Philip Yancey, in his book about grace, suggests that these are some of the reasons we don't forgive. He needs to learn a lesson, yeah? I don't want to encourage irresponsible behaviour. I'll let her stew for a while, it'll do her good. She needs to learn that actions have consequences. Well, I was the wronged party. It's not up to me to make the first move. How can I forgive if he's not even sorry? Yeah? Anybody identify with any of those? I think they're pretty good. So, why should we forgive? Well, first of all, because God said so. We sometimes say the Lord's Prayer, don't we? And in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And in Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Seriously? Just as God forgave me? But let's think for a moment what that forgiveness looks like. That was free, given unconditionally, not expecting anything in return, not waiting for us to love him first, not waiting even until we asked for it. And it gets worse. Matthew 6, verse 15 says, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now that's just plain scary, isn't it? See, Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone. 7 times? 70 times 7? And Jesus told a story about a man who was forgiven a huge debt. Well, he was let off a huge debt that he couldn't pay. So he owed, so it would be a bit like, say, Steve owed me £100,000 and he couldn't pay it. And he came to me and he said, Wendy, I can't pay it. I just can't pay it. And I said to him, Steve, that's okay. I'll let you off. I'll wipe the debt. You don't owe me that money anymore. And then Steve, even though he's been let off that debt, somebody else, no, Daryl, owes him £100. And Daryl goes up to Steve and says, Steve, I'm really sorry, I can't pay. I haven't got it. I can't pay it. And Steve says, sorry, mate, going to take you to court over it, going to sue you for it, going to take every penny, even if it leaves you homeless, even if it leaves you this or whatever. So Steve received grace. He was let off his debt, but he then didn't let off Daryl off his debt. And Jesus told that story to illustrate that even though it was a relatively small debt in comparison to the big one, because Steve had been let off, because he had been forgiven, because his slate had been wiped clean, he should have extended that forgiveness to others. We have been let off a debt that we could never repay. That's what forgiveness is. It's the cancelling of a debt. The debt of our sin, we were completely unable to repay it. It would have cost us our very lives. But Jesus gave his life. He cancelled that debt. And now he calls us to forgive in the same way. See, I think sometimes you would kind of hope that the more we recognize our own need for forgiveness, the more we would perhaps be aware of the need to forgive others. But I know it doesn't always work like that. But when we have been forgiven so much, what right do we have to withhold forgiveness? So secondly, because it sets us free. This quote is something that you may have heard before. But holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. When we don't forgive somebody, it's like we want to punish the other person, but actually not forgiving them punishes ourselves. And the other person generally is unaffected by it. Now, obviously, unforgiveness will damage our relationships, but there are times when we continue in the relationships, or maybe we don't have a relationship with that person anymore, and they don't even know that we haven't forgiven them. They're not suffering as a result of that, but unforgiveness always damages us. Research has shown that forgiveness is linked to mental health outcomes such as reduced anxiety, depression, and major psychiatric disorders, as well as fewer physical health symptoms and lower mortality rates. Forgiveness is good for you. Unforgiveness is definitely not. Now, I'm not going to suggest here that unforgiveness is behind every illness, every disease. I'm not at all. But I have personally seen the power of forgiveness in healing. And I know I've mentioned this story before, but there was someone who came and asked for prayer for healing. Jeff Trimmingham and I were praying for her, and God spoke to Jeff and asked him to say to her about, did she need to forgive someone? And she shared that she had suffered an incredibly awful event as a young woman, and she shared that with us, and she forgave them. She made a choice to forgive. And she came to us with a very severe pain problem, and within a couple of weeks she was off all her medication and no longer in pain. Now, as I said, I'm not suggesting that everybody's problem, everybody's health condition is caused by unforgiveness, but this is real stuff, you know, this really does damage us. You see, resentment means literally to feel again. It's a clinging to the past. It's like picking off a scab. You know when you have scabs, and kids are particularly good at this, aren't they? You know, you have a scab, and then they pick at it, and then it scabs again, and then you pick at it, and it never seems to heal. And it's a bit like that. You know, there's no healing that comes. It's like picking off a scab. It's like reopening the wound. It never heals. And, you know, and I believe that offense, taking offense, unforgiveness, resentment, are a huge weapon of the enemy, of Satan, not just for us individually, but also as a church. Now, Barbara shared with me some time ago that God had been speaking to her some stuff about forgiveness, and I thought it would be good just to allow her to come and share. So Barbara's going to come and just share some thoughts that she has and something in relation to her own personal experience. Thank you, Barbara.
I suffered, all I need to say is emotional abuse for just a few years, but I have found the grace. God has given me the grace to forgive that perpetrator. And I have therefore found the freedom that the forgiveness brings. I realized if I didn't forgive, that I was going to be a bitter, screwed up person. And like just as Wendy has said, and she's done that beautifully. But for me, it was just wonderful to be able to totally forgive this person. Now, R.T. Kendall has written a book, which I would say was the best book I've ever read. It's called Total Forgiveness. And he says, how do you know if you've totally forgiven? He says other things, but three basic things. You never repeat what they did to you. So you don't go and say, oh yeah, I've forgiven them, but da 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 da. You never repeat what they did to you. The other thing is that you... oh dear, I've had a mind blank. You never repeat, and you never make them feel guilty. You don't say things that are going to make them feel guilty. And the last thing, you pray for them to be blessed. That's how you know, when you can pray in your heart that you have forgiven, you pray for them to be blessed. And by God's grace, I have been able to forgive that person. And I realized then there was a big issue of forgiving myself. If only I hadn't done that, if only I hadn't said that, and we all go into this if only. But as Wendy has said in the scripture, if God has forgiven us so much, who are we to hold it against ourselves? Hmm. We are saying, God, your forgiveness is back in your face. God has forgiven me so much, all of us so much. Who are we to hold it against ourselves? So Jesus has forgiven me and given me the grace to forgive myself. And there's just one last thing I will say. I saw on a Christian program last year a gentleman who'd had his son had been murdered, and he'd been able to forgive the perpetrator. He said, I see forgiveness as this. You unlock the prison door, and you find you've released yourself. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. And I'm sure, actually, that other people here will have stories of their own journey for forgiveness. So, what is forgiveness? Let's go the right way. Well, forgiveness is not excusing the action. So when we forgive other people, we're not saying that what they did was okay. It's also not forgetting. Now, the amazing thing about God is that he chooses to forget. And because he's God, he can. We are not God, and so we can't just wipe our memory of the events or what happened. But you know what we can do? We can choose to not keep remembering. Because you and I know that when it comes to memories, the more we rehearse them, the more they're there. So I don't know what your memory is like. If you forget something, you know, if you need to remember something, you repeat it, don't you? So if we can choose not to keep remembering, not to keep bringing it up, not to keep thinking about it, or when it comes up, to move it out of the way, to replace it with something else. And the pain associated with the memory can be healed. But it's not reconciling either. Now, reconciliation is always something that God wants. That's what he's done, he's reconciled us to himself. He's reconciled, he's brought back our relationship. And I think that God's plan is always that as far as possible, our relationships can be restored. But forgiveness itself does not automatically mean reconciliation. And you don't have to have reconciliation in order to be able to forgive. It is not right to leave an abused child with their abuser, however sorry their abuser is. Would you agree? So forgiveness is not always about reconciliation. But without forgiveness, there will never be reconciliation. So what is forgiveness? Well, it's a miracle of grace. I read this quote, "The miracle of forgiving is the creation of a new beginning. It does not always take away the hurt. It does not deny the past injury. It merely refuses to let them stand in the way of a new start." As Barbara said, it's like opening those prison doors in order that you can move through. See, grace, by definition, as I've said, is not deserved. We don't forgive because the person deserves forgiveness, okay? And maybe they haven't even requested it. We are extending the grace that we have received and forgiving on the same basis that we have been forgiven. So it's a miracle because it's definitely not natural, is it? It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't come naturally. It's supernatural. It's a miracle. We need the miracle of grace in our lives to enable us to forgive. And then secondly, it's an act of faith. You see, one definition of forgiveness, as I've mentioned, is to give up a claim. So as I use that illustration, the claim of a debt that is owed, or a claim for compensation, or a claim for retaliation. You see, when I forgive, I give up the right to retaliate, to get my own back, to hurt the person who has hurt me, to get revenge. Forgiveness is trusting God to take care of the other person rather than looking for revenge ourselves. Philip Yancey says, "Forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales of justice and mercy." Of course, the risk is that God may not do what we'd like him to do. Because, you know, we might say, well, I'm leaving it in God's hands, but actually, God, I really like it if you just make their life really difficult for a while. And I don't know about you, as I said, I'm going to be honest. One of my biggest struggles is seeing people who've wronged me get really blessed. You know, stuff goes right for them. Stuff isn't going right for me, but it's going right for them. Henry Nguyen said, "I have often said, I forgive you, but even as I said these words, my heart remained angry or resentful. I still wanted to hear the story that tells me that I was right after all. I still wanted to hear apologies and excuses. I still wanted the satisfaction of receiving some praise in return, if only the praise for being so forgiving." But God's forgiveness is unconditional. It comes from a heart that does not demand anything for itself, a heart that is completely empty of self-seeking. It is this divine forgiveness that I have to practice in my daily life. It calls me to keep stepping over all my arguments that say forgiveness is unwise, unhealthy, and impractical. It challenges me to step over all my needs for gratitude and compliments. Finally, it demands of me that I step over that wounded part of my heart that feels hurt and wronged and that wants to stay in control and put a few conditions between me and the one whom I am asked to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy. So how do I forgive? Well, first of all, we need to receive God's grace, don't we? Because this is a miracle of grace. God promises that his grace is sufficient. The one who has forgiven is able to enable us to forgive. We need to receive his grace in order to give grace. Remember, Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected, to be hurt, to be abused, to be barbarically killed. And yet, what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them. I don't think any of us have ever suffered what Jesus suffered, though your suffering may be acute. Jesus knows what it feels like. Whatever you may be going through, whatever you may have had done to you, Jesus understands. And that's why we have hope. Because the Bible tells us, sorry, going the wrong way again, in Hebrews 4, that he is the one who has been before. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can come to God confidently knowing that his grace is enough and that Jesus understands because he was tempted to not forgive too. He was tempted to hold on to resentment and bitterness. He was tempted to take offense, but he chose to forgive. He understands, and this is the God that we come to, the one who understands. Secondly, make a choice. If we wait until we feel like we want to forgive, we probably won't. It's because it doesn't feel natural, does it? So if we wait until we feel like it, it won't happen. So we don't wait until we feel like it. We make a choice. Now, we may not always have the opportunity to speak to the person directly who has wronged us, to tell them that we forgive them. That may not even be appropriate in certain situations, but we can still forgive. We can declare it by faith. I forgive. Feelings will follow. And you know what? We may have to do this time and time and time again until we feel really free. But every time we do it, it's like we take a stepping forward into that freedom. So this morning, maybe you know that there's a situation, a person that you haven't forgiven. Maybe you thought you had, but you've realized that actually there's another layer of forgiveness that needs to come. You may, like me, have realized that actually, you know what, I'm quite easily offended. And that's not very healthy either. And I need to actually forgive someone who has offended me. Now, if we have wronged someone, if we know that we've done something, then obviously we need to put it right with that person and ask for forgiveness. But if someone has done something to us, maybe they're not even aware of the effect of their actions on us. Sometimes we need to approach people to get a relationship right. But sometimes it might be just our own pride that's offended. And actually, we don't need to tell the other person at all because they haven't done anything wrong. It's just our own pride. that's been hurt. A couple of years ago, someone came to see me who I hadn't seen for years and years and years, just simply because of circumstances, not because of any relationship breakdown that I was aware of. We just drifted apart. And she asked to come and see me, and she told me that actually she had been resentful of me for 20 years. And the reason she was resentful of me actually had nothing to do with me. It was the fact somebody else had treated me better than they'd treated her. So I hadn't actually done anything wrong in that situation, but she had held on to that resentment for 20 years. Now, I was pleased for her that she'd let go of that resentment, but I hadn't been aware of it. But obviously for her, she needed to see me, to tell me about that. But sometimes it might not be appropriate. I did have somebody once come and tell me that they wanted to apologise to me because they'd been thinking nasty things about me. I didn't need to know that they'd been thinking nasty things about me because actually they'd been thinking it, they hadn't done it. And now then I was left thinking, well, what were they thinking? What have I done to make them think like those things? Now I'm paranoid. Is everyone thinking nasty things about me? So sometimes you don't necessarily need to apologise to the person, but it might be appropriate to do that. But we do need to keep an attitude of forgiveness, to guard our hearts against offence, to be aware, you know, when we're starting to get wound up about stuff and cross about stuff, what is it about that that's bugging me? Why do I feel angry or resentful about that? It's good to keep, to have a practice of doing a regular heart checkup, isn't it? Am I offended? Do I need to forgive? It's an attitude of forgiveness. Martin Luther King said, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude. You know, as I've been honest with you this morning, I've been aware, you know, even as I've been preparing this, that, you know, it's easy, as I said, to hold on to unforgiveness, to take offence. But I'm also aware of actually what a big issue this is for us as a church in terms of moving forward. Because I know if it affects me, it's going to affect other people here. And I know maybe my behaviour towards other people isn't what it should be because maybe I'm acting out of a heart that is offended. And I might need to ask your forgiveness for things that I may have said or done. And please feel free to queue up afterwards and I will apologise profusely to everybody. But you know, I do think that it's an important issue. And so what I would like us to do, just close your eyes for a minute, if you would. Just want to give us just a couple of minutes just to reflect. Lord, we want you to search our hearts, Lord, because we want to be right. Test us, Lord. Show us if there's things in our hearts that aren't right. Lord, we want to put them right. If there's attitudes, if we've got an unforgiving attitude, a resentful attitude, maybe there's a person or a situation or things that have happened, and we've taken offence at that. And maybe relationships haven't been what they should be because of how we've been feeling. Lord God, will you help us? Will you show us in every area of our lives, in our families, Lord, in our marriages, in our workplaces, in our church, Lord, in every area of our lives, Lord, will you show us how to walk in forgiveness day by day? We have been forgiven so much. Lord, how can we not forgive?